This episode of Clearview Today is brought to you by Le Bleu Ultra Pure Water. David, how many bottles of water do you think you drink a day?
Well, actually, I only drink Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew, Strawberry Yoo-Hoo, and the occasional Pepto-Bismol.
Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew? Do they even make that anymore?
Fun fact, no. I have to make my own with McDonald's Sprite, and you guessed it, Texas Pete.
I am genuinely horrified to hear that.
Me too.
You know, unlike other bottled waters, Le Bleu water only has two ingredients, hydrogen and oxygen. Nothing more, nothing less. Le Bleu's award-winning ultra-pure water is the result of their patent-pending five steps beyond Mother Nature process, which eliminates the inorganic materials and creates uniquely pure water, free of contaminants and perfectly balanced and fresh tasting.
And Le Bleu produces only the highest quality, ultra-pure bottled water on the market. You can get them in 1 liter, 1.5 liters, 12 ounces, 20 ounces, or even in the 3 to 5 gallon water coolers. And best of all, Le Bleu Central conveniently delivers this pure refreshment right to your home or office.
That's right. Le Bleu delivers our water coolers right here to Clearview Church every single month like clockwork. And it's not just water. Le Bleu supplies the finest gourmet coffees, teas, and hot chocolates to accommodate every preference in your office. I'm talking Green Mountain, Starbucks, Krispy Kreme, Donut Shop. So whether you're looking for the perfect brew for yourself or for your workplace, Le Bleu has got you covered.
You can visit their website today at MyLeBleu, that's MyLeBleu.com, and use promo code TODAY, that's TODAY, for a 10% discount at checkout. Every single purchase you make using that promo code helps us here at the Clearview Today Show and gets you one step closer to the purest, most refreshing water you've ever tasted.
Thank you to Le Bleu for sponsoring this episode. Now let's start the show.
Where's my Mountain Dew?
You're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
And you can find us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Or if you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028. Or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right. And you guys can help us keep the conversation moving forward by supporting the show. You can share it online with your friends and family. Leave us a good 5-star review on iTunes or Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasting content from. We're going to leave a couple of links right there in the description so you can do just that. I'm starting to feel that the harsh realities of winter coming on, that kind of gunk in the throat, like when you wake up in the morning and then you just like are in the shower and you're like practicing singing bass, and then it's just like kind of hurts, but then it's like, Ellie, I need you to stop running the dishwasher, the water's too cold.
Ellie, please.
But this is what you like, man. You like the winter, don't you?
Love it. You know why too? I'll tell you why I like the winter. Listen to this. Do you hear that clear inhale?
Yeah, I heard it.
You hear that? No congestion.
You get congestion in the summer?
Spring and fall.
Wow.
Spring and fall. Hate it. Anything blooming, hate it. Kill all the living things. Hate it.
I
kill
it
all the plants.
Cold, gray, and dead.
Cold, gray, and dead. That's what I want, baby.
So I've got some good news and I've got some really bad news.
Oh, dear.
And I'll give them to you in whichever order you prefer.
Give me the good news first.
I'm back in the gym.
Good for you.
It's been a little bit. It's been like legitimately.
Well, I mean, you know, life's been a little bit busy, kind of upended, crazy schedule.
We constructed our new worship center.
Yep.
And then at the tail end, I pretty much was like, you know what? I can't afford to be in the gym right now. I should be, but it's just not realistic.
Yeah.
So I'm back in.
Good for you.
That's the good news.
That's awesome.
The really bad news is I took my family out to a pleasant lunch at a local steakhouse.
Okay.
Is
this related to the gym?
Sort of.
Okay.
Sorta.
Okay.
I took my family out for a pleasant lunch.
Sure.
And I had a burger.
Right.
I had fries.
Okay.
I had some of Holden's chips.
Okay.
I had some of some of Ellie's chips.
All right.
I had, I don't even know what the name of it was, but it was like a hot fudge sundae with cake baked inside it.
Okay, settle down.
It was meant for four people.
And you ate it?
I ate.
Alone?
I didn't eat it alone. Gavin had some and Holden had some. Ellie wanted some. And I ate too much of it. I ate like a wild hog.
Why would you do that to yourself?
I don't know.
Did you think I'm back in the gym? So
I hadn't gone back to the gym yet.
I can have every calorie.
I hadn't gone back to the gym yet.
Oh no.
I was planning to stay home and not go to the gym and just continue the cycle of just staying home and not going.
Yeah.
But I went to lunch and I got that burger.
Right.
For some reason, this particular place, I'm not going to mention the name of the place, but it's great food, but at their lunch portions are pretty small.
And so they are pretty small.
They gave me the burger and like maybe six fries. And I was like, seriously?
Yeah.
So then Holden wasn't eating his chips, so I got some of his. Then I ate pretty much all his chips. And then Ellie had some chips, so I ate some of hers. And then Gavin was like, I ate all my corn dog. Can I have dessert? And normally I'd be like, no. But I wanted some dessert. So I was like, yeah, but you ate all your corn dog. So she brings out this. I thought it was going to be like this little bowl of hot fudge. She was like, do you want four spoons? And I was like, yeah, that'll be kind of cute. I see why she asked that now, because the plate was like as big as this laptop.
Goodness.
And I'm not joking. The plate, I mean, it was huge. It was crazy how small their lunch portions were.
I was about to say, dessert, so a burger and six fries, but you got like an entire cake for dessert.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Pretty much. It was like the Trunchbull's chocolate cake.
Oh, no.
But it had like
Bruce
ice cream.
Bruce Bogtrotter style.
Yes. Bruce Bogtrotter style. It had ice cream and hot fudge on top of it. And it had four cherries. And Holden ate the cherries. And I ate almost all of the dessert. It was insane.
Sure.
Like, I was ashamed.
Well.
And I left there feeling not so good. You ever had one of those days?
I have. Or yeah. Typically it happens to me when, like, sometimes on a Saturday when we don't have really anything going on, we might fix like a late breakfast. Uh-huh. And it's like a big breakfast, like scrambled eggs, pancakes, bacon, sausage,
golly, that sounds
huge
good.
Amount of stuff. And so then we just kind of graze throughout the rest of the day because we'll eat breakfast at like 9:30, 10. Yeah. If we don't have anything going on that day, we'll eat a little bit later. So then we just kind of like pick and graze throughout the day. So I'll have some chips and then, you know, have a little bit of dip here and then maybe some of this and then some of that. And by the end of the day, I'm like, I've eaten like a hog today.
So that's what I was about to say. You strike me as the type to where you're eating a meal and you're like, I'm full. I'll stop now. But like me,
most of the time, but I also, we've talked about this on the show before, but I also have that, you have to clean your plate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that was kind of drilled into me as a kid. So even if I am full, I'm going to force myself to finish that plate.
Same. My dad was real big on finishing the plate. So when you get up, are you like, oh man, I ate too much. I feel kind of bloated and full.
Rarely. Sometimes, but this rare. It doesn't really happen much.
I got you. Well, it resulted in something good because I'm working out again. I went to the gym that night. I got back in.
Good.
It was pretty embarrassing. I couldn't bench. I benched 185 for like six and felt exhausted.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is a shadow of where I was. They really are not joking around. If you don't use it, you lose it. That's
yeah.
true.
But I mean, that you took a step in the right direction.
That's right.
That's
right.
That's a good thing.
We'll get Dr. Shine on that conversation because I didn't even tell him about the I didn't even call him to tell him about
the stinging. Meal.
No, it
I'm
was
too
bad.
Ashamed.
It was really bad.
But I didn't let us know if you've ever had one of those meals where you get done and you're like, why did I do that to myself?
Yeah, I have goofed up.
Now, I will say on something like Thanksgiving, like I'll get to the end of the meal and I'm like, why? Every year. Why did I do this to myself? Why?
I think you know a meal was really, really good or really bad if you have to like. Now introduce different life choices to combat what I just did in that restaurant.
Or if I feel like I need a rest, like a break at the end of the meal, I gotta go lay down. Write in and let us know. 252-582-5028. Or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hello, Clearview family. I'm Nicole.
And I'm David.
And we want to talk to you today about the Clearview app.
You know, there are so many churches out there that put their sermons on YouTube and their announcements on Facebook and their prayer list on Periscope.
I didn't even know Periscope was still functional.
Oh, it's not. And that's why nobody can find their church's prayer list and nobody's prayers be getting answered. But here at Clearview, we believe in making our content as accessible as possible.
That's right. Clearview produces so much content every single week, including Dr. Shaw's sermons, original music, a full online store, weekly prayer gatherings, and so much more.
Not to mention the number one best-selling Christian talk show of all time.
I don't know if that's accurate.
Well, maybe not yet, but that's why we want people to download the app.
If you're listening from the Triangle area, we encourage you to check out Clearview Church in person. But if not, you can still follow all of our content on the Clearview app. It's 100% free on the Apple Store and Google Play Store. And best of all of our content is right there in one convenient spot.
Make sure you download the Clearview app today, and let's get back to the show.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. If you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028.
That's right, and we're here once again in the Clearview Today studio with Dr. Abadan Shah, who's a PhD in New Testament textual criticism. Dr. Shah, have you ever been in a restaurant, just post-meal in a restaurant, filled with regret. Just like looking
for
at
what?
Your, look like looking at your empty plate, like what did I just do?
Taking inventory of everything that you ate.
Like, is it good or is it bad?
Good. Delicious. Okay. But like, you know, you just went overboard. I just ate way too much.
Like I did a few minutes ago.
Did you do it a few minutes ago?
Yes. We just had like desserts. Uh-huh. Somebody brought us a meal.
Yes.
Somebody very special in our church decided to go out. And they went to Olive Garden.
Yep, delicious.
My fave.
Yes, and they got us this salad, main course, and then dessert. Bread.
Yeah.
I mean, everything was Olive Garden. Mm-hmm. And the desserts were something that she made.
Homemade dessert.
Homemade desserts.
Yep.
And it was brownie as well as strawberry cake.
Yeah.
It was delicious.
And this woman, this person's strawberry cake is absolutely legendary.
Yes.
Like it's at all the church functions.
So, you know, what you do in a time like that is you eat only one. You pick.
Right.
Right? I mean, you got to pick one and just stick to that one. That's your dessert.
Yeah. Sure.
I had both.
Yeah. I had both too. I had a little piece of strawberry cake when everybody was watching. Then when nobody was in there, I went back and got it.
Oh, no. Yeah. There are some regrets today.
I did that a couple days back. It was so bad. I went to a local steakhouse here in our town. I think you're very familiar with it. We eat there at lunch all the time. Mm-hmm. And I had a burger. I had some fries. I had some Holden's chips. I had some Ellie's chips. And then Gavin was like, hey, I ate all my corn dog. Can we get some dessert? And I was like, yeah, I've never had their dessert before. Not realizing how enormous their dessert was. It was like hot chocolate cake,
Gavin, with
ice cream. He ate a corn dog and thought that was an accomplishment. And
I have eaten an entire corn dog.
And then it was like slathered with hot fudge and cherries and whipped cream. And I was like, yeah, I mean, I guess we're eating this. And I mean, when I say we ate it, like I felt so ashamed. I got back in the gym that night.
Really?
I went back to the gym finally. Yes. I walked out of that restaurant just like filled with regret.
Just hang your head.
Like, I had that a few minutes ago when I had both the cake and the brownie. And then it was sitting on the counter. So I was like, let me put it away. Mm-hmm. And as I'm putting it away, a voice said, take another piece of brownie. Yeah.
You want one more.
It's like, well,
have another one.
And then it's like, well, but she brought it though. It'd be rude not to do it.
Yeah, but these are homemade brownies. This is not like you're getting it out of a box.
True.
You know, this is not like some fast food place. I mean, this is a good brownie.
True.
Yeah.
But
very true.
I didn't take it.
Yeah. Well, hey, man, it happens to the best of us. It happens. And maybe some good will come out of it. Like I said, I really wish I hadn't ate that meal, but at least I'm back in the gym now.
There you go. See?
I was so ashamed. Positivity. I was like, I've got to make a healthy life choice
after this. Something productive came out of your bad decision.
Yes. Right. That's right. That's right.
Our verse of the day today comes from Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 19. You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up.
Mm, funny, because it was my child that led me to that bad decision, wanting all that dessert. One of the things I love about Clearview Church so much is its focus on children. You know, when I say that my son loves coming here, I don't mean that like, oh, he just like he loves being at this church.
Yep.
It's the highlight of his week to come here. I've never thought I'd see a four-year-old memorizing scripture to the point where he can recite it back to you without like drilling it.
Yeah.
But it's just such a love of God that is here that we have literally four-year-olds, five-year-olds reciting scripture to you. I couldn't do that when I was like in my late teens, early 20s. You know what I mean? When I first started reading the Bible.
We have several families that have said that to me. Mm-hmm. Our kids don't want to leave church.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In fact, I would say tons of families who say that.
That's the case for most kids.
Yeah, they don't want to leave church. Mm-hmm. Sunday morning, they just want to hang out here. Mm-hmm. Sunday night, of course, we have our students' ministry, our college and career, and those students don't want to leave.
No.
Wednesday night, we have Awana here. They don't want to leave. It's because we've created an environment where they can have fun and still learn about God, His holiness, His word, what it means to follow Jesus Christ, what it means to share the gospel with the lost, what it means that the Holy Spirit is in us and we love one another. It's just an awesome place And I hope and pray that God will keep his hand upon us.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Maybe we can talk about that for a little bit, you know, because when we talk about creating a culture, creating an environment, people think they almost go the opposite way where it's like, we're going to take the restrictions off. Yep. We're going to chill. We're going to hang out. But Clearview is actually, I don't want to say rigid because that has connotations, but Clearview is very firm in its boundaries and yep. its structure.
Yeah. Right. The structure is the biggest thing. It's yeah. not just this amorphous thing where yeah. people just attend. They're just kind of like hanging out. It's there's a very specific design in place. There's a very specific goal that's set forth. And that gives kids and teenagers and parents peace of mind knowing that.
Did you just say amorphous?
I did.
No. Is it like, did you mean the word allogenous?
No, amorphous.
Really?
Is that a secret word?
Was that yours?
I was trying to get past that.
That was good.
I was like,
Ryan.
Amorphous was not my secret word.
That was really good. That was really good.
Well, it didn't work, but it's not that good.
I don't know what it is. I forget when it's not my word, I forget that we're playing the game.
Yeah. So I was like, maybe I'll use it, but it didn't work.
Dr. Shaw, what was yours? Elogenous?
Elogenous, which is like something of a different kind.
Yeah, that was pretty good. I'd
never heard that word, and I was like, I don't think so.
You had to be pretty sharp, Ryan, because that would have got past me. I would have been like, no, that wasn't my word.
And yeah. I would be like, okay, that's fine.
Okay, shoot. Yeah. Yeah. You want to do that? There you go. All right.
Well, that's out of the way.
It's all good.
Now we can talk normal. Can.
Yeah. But we're focused on creating a culture where students and children grow up understanding that church is not just something that you have to attend. It's a place where you should want to be. It's
that's
a
right.
place where you belong.
Mm-hmm. It's an allogenous place.
It's an allogenous place.
It's a place of a different kind.
It is a place of a different kind, as it should be.
Yeah.
It creates, the leaders that God would have our young people to be.
There's something unique at Clearview, and maybe Dr. Shaw, if we want, we can spend some time talking about this, because it's something that goes against what I think, and I think what a lot of people thinks, and yet it's undeniable that it works, because like you said, there are so many kids and teenagers and students who don't want to leave here. Again, I think a lot of people put so much emphasis on freedom and lack of structure that they think that's going to draw people in. Mm. And you spent a lot of time before, well, maybe concurrently as a pastor, you also spent time as a principal of mm-hmm. a Christian school.
Right.
And so you know better than anybody, you can't just do what you want. You can't just be free flowing and up in there. There has to be structure.
Well, I used to tell my teachers that, and it's not unique to me. It's been said by principals and supervisors to their teachers for years and years and years, which is have a plan. Mm-hmm. If you don't have a plan, rest assured, your students will have a plan.
Absolutely.
So if you don't have a structure, people will create a structure. And that's not always a good thing.
That's true. So maybe that kind of ties into your answer, because I was going to say, how do you translate? And you do it very well. You do it really well as well, Ryan. I'm bringing in this structure. Here's how this is going to go. Somehow everybody ends up having fun and not wanting to leave. So where's that bridge? You know what I mean? Like, how do you make a structure and a plan? Like, cause our children's ministry is very structured. Blaze is very structured. Awana is extremely structured. Illuminate is very structured. Our Catalyst Converge that you lead, Ryan, is very structured.
Dr. Shaw.
I meant Dr. Shaw. I'm sorry. Yeah. I was talking to Dr. Shaw.
Converge, by the way, is our young adult ministry.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Our college and career ministry that Dr. Shaw and Ms. Crystal lead as well. How do you get all that structure to translate to genuine fun?
Very simple. You have to have a goal. Mm-hmm. There should be a purpose, a vision. Mm-hmm. And once that is very clear and evident to you, and you know in your heart of hearts that this is a worthy goal, this is the structure, this is the goal, the purpose, the vision for which God has called us, then you drive towards it with everything you have. Mm-hmm. That's what you live for. That's what it is. And what happens is it kind of frees you up to have fun along the way, mm-hmm. frees you up to make mistakes, frees you up to know what the boundaries are, where people can do things and it's okay mm-hmm. and it's fine. Once you have that vision and goal, if you don't have that vision and goal, that's when you think, nothing matters or everything matters.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
So years and years ago, I prayed. I said, God, give me a vision for my life. Mm-hmm. And this is, I mean, I'm going back to like 2004, five or six, I think it is. Mm-hmm. I said, God, give me a vision for my life. And I actually spent time studying what a vision is, the power of vision. Mm-hmm. I read George Barna's book, The Power of Vision. I think that's the name of the book. And learn how to craft a vision, learn how to have a vision for my life. What are my core values?
Right.
What are the things that God has gifted me? What are the things that will last forever, that go beyond this life? All these things, I spend a lot of time just studying it, backing it up with scripture. I mean, I took notes and I would keep that. And I, as I'm reading this book, I would craft this vision. I would alter things and edit things to make it just right. And then when I knew, okay, this is who I am. This is what God has created me to be. And it lines up with scripture and his purpose. Then I began to move with so much more freedom. And I was a principal at the time. And so I began to work at the school with that kind of a mindset. Then the church began to, we went through some transition. We left our old building and stepped out in faith because where we were located was not going to grow. We just knew it was done. So we need to move out. But moving out was not just, let's just go from location A to location B and we're going to grow.
Right.
No, it doesn't happen like that. You can have the best location in the world, but if your mission, vision, and core values are blurry, you're not going to grow. So knowing God's vision for my life and knowing my vision for my life enabled me to then help create the vision, core values, mission for the church. And that's where we are today.
Yeah.
I mean, this is all led by God, superintended by God, but it required some work.
Do you think people mistake or misinterpret leadership for charisma? You know what I mean? Like if you think like this person's a good leader, the one of the first things that I think of and I think most people think of is that person is just very charismatic. They're charming. They're a likable person.
Yeah.
And they never even think this person is, like you said, has a mission, has a vision, and has core values that they're building their goals on.
Right.
It's like that doesn't even enter into the conversation on what makes a leader.
100%. Because there's so many definitions out there. So many so many one-liners, so many memes, so many GIF or GIF, whatever it is, so many things out there with so-and-so said this, and Aristotle said that, and Ralph Waldo Emerson said this, you know, Billy Graham said that. I mean, there's so many ideas, and some of them are actually good and great and biblical. Some are not. So we try to live by all these principles. So a leader should be somebody who cares about people. A leader should be somebody who knows who they are. A leader is somebody who knows where he's going. So many things.
Right.
A leader should know how to adapt. No. And I think that's why a lot of leaders mess up, or they end up becoming disillusioned because at the end of the day, they or end of the years or decades, they go, what am I doing?
Right.
What is wrong with me? What is something missing? If they would even ask that question, many times they just kind of exist.
Good point. That's a that's a terrible fate for a leader, because that's like the last thing that you want to do is just kind of be there.
It's just like stall, just stagnate. Dr. Shaw, you talked about creating a culture and crafting a vision here at Clearview. As someone who came on board after that vision was set, kind of crystallized, and this is where we're headed. You know, my first impression of you as a leader was that you were a very, you were a gifted preacher. You were very relatable. You were a very charismatic leader. But it wasn't until I was here for a little while.
Not theologically, by the way.
No. Yeah, not theologically. Charismatic as in likable, not theologically.
I know what you meant.
Very ground, very solid theologically.
I just had to
Get that.
I just get that.
It's important clarification. But it wasn't until I was here for a little while that I really saw your vision and really began to catch that vision for myself. And that that informed everything from how we did things in Illuminate, that informed how we do things in Blaze Kids, that informed, I mean, down to nursery, how things are structured, how volunteers are communicated with, how relationships are built, because it's all done in the context of this is where we're headed. And it, seeing that vision up close really helped expand my mind on what it meant to be a leader and what it meant to chase after a vision. Because it wasn't just my vision anymore. It was, I believe in your vision and I'm chasing after your vision because that's what I want. That's better than what I was going to set for myself.
I am not a visionary, because sometimes people think, you know, because you have the vision, you must be visionary. I don't think that's very helpful, valuable, fulfilling. And I don't think that's what God wants us to be visionary people.
Right.
What does that mean to be visionary?
Yeah.
But if you say vision in the sense of you're adding value, you know, John Maxwell often says that, you know, mm-hmm. add value to others. Mm-hmm. If vision means you're helping people live a Christ-centered life, mm-hmm. if you're helping marriages to be more biblically based, if you're wanting children and teens and young adults to live in this world sold out to Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. that to me is the good vision. Life will have problems. You're going to have problems. You're going to have financial problems. You're going to have health problems. You're going to have relationship problems. You're going to have random accidents. Mm-hmm. Those are problems, trials. So life will have problems. How can you help people have the life that God intended them to have? Not a problem-free life, but a life that glorifies God mm-hmm. and builds his kingdom that doesn't end this side of heaven.
Right.
It goes mm-hmm. on into the life that is coming forever. How can you help people do that? That is the vision that I'm driving towards. Mm-hmm. So it's not just that, hey, in the bathroom, it needs to be clean. The bathrooms need to be spotless, or we need to have a mouthwash in there, or we mm-hmm. need to make sure we have antibacterial along with soap. We need to make sure we have toilet seat covers.
I mean, right.
I'm just using a random example. Is that it? I mean, so that we can have the nicest bathroom so that people can come and go, you know, these people care about details. Mm. No, I'm hoping that people will not only see that, but in seeing that, they will say, this is a good place for me to raise my family.
Well, so that's what I was about to say. It ties back into how this whole conversation started. People come here and they genuinely don't want to leave.
Yeah. Yeah.
They like spending time here. And I can't think of a single place on earth that people should rather spend time than God's house.
Amen.
You know?
Amen. Amen.
I think that's the part of it is that we want our things to be nice and we want our things to be polished, not so people are impressed, but so that they want to be here and raise their families yeah. here. You know, I think like when I think about my kids, they love being here because it's fun. They're not really aware that they're being raised into good Christian citizens. You know what I mean?
Amen.
But like even for us, like when people are sitting under your preaching, do you think it's going through people's minds? I'm being made into a better Christian, a better husband, a better father. Or do you think on the like that's there, but on the surface it's like, that was a really good message. I really needed to hear that.
I think it's the former.
The former mm-hmm. that they yeah. understand?
They are yeah. understanding now. Mm-hmm. There are some who just got here mm-hmm. and quickly picked it up, but then there are others who got here and still haven't picked it up. There mm-hmm. are a few, I would say a handful, who have been here for a long time. And the connection is still not made, mm-hmm. that's the goal we're going towards.
Yeah. Right.
They're either hung up on church polity, they're hung up on a position, they're hung up on some weird doctrine that they heard growing up, mm-hmm. or a YouTube video, or some famous preacher on TV, or a bestseller book. Somewhere they got hung up.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so they're not moving past that point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when I come across a person like that, whether they've been here for years and years or they just got here, I'm sad because they can catch the vision, but they're unable to catch the vision. Mm-hmm. So they are sort of hung up on something. Yeah. Sometimes it's hurts they've had in life. Sometimes it is some bad decisions they made. Sometimes it is some conflict they went through and they're recreating. Am I right? Mm-hmm. They're recreating that conflict here.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, you're missing something wonderful
right.
because you have this burden that you're carrying.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, you can shed that burden by coming to Christ. Mm-hmm. Cast all your burden upon the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can come to him. All those who labor heavy laden, come to me, said Jesus. You can give him your burden and say, God, take it from me and help me now to live free mm-hmm. carrying your burden, your yoke. Mm-hmm. Is that person going to do it?
Yeah.
Probably not unless yeah. they totally submit themselves to God.
Yeah. It's almost like a set of blinders but better yet, those, you ever have those goggles in school where they talk about like how to not to drive drunk
and the beer goggles.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes everything kind of woozy. Yeah. Like you can still see, but it's really distorted. It's like that. I mean, they're yeah. looking through that lens of that experience and they can take those goggles off, but they just won't. And they're yeah. still seeing everything through that distorted lens.
I remember I saw a kid fall flat on his face.
Oh, yeah. I remember, we had kids fall, too.
Oh, yeah. We had a kid just fall straight down. And I remember everyone was like laughing. Like, hi. This one was like, you come up here next. And I remember one of the kids that was laughing put those beer goggles on, walked straight into the wall.
Yeah.
I was like,
oh, really?
God, they're crazy.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
But, you know, I do see that. And I see that people, you know, they are sacrificing something so good.
Yeah.
And I think there's people listening to the show who want this for their church. Mm-hmm. They want it. Cause I mean, there's times on, like, I remember being like a little bit younger and being here and just seeing the students be here like on a Sunday night, like 8:30, 9:30, not going home.
I don't know. Summertime. I think we were here till like 10:30 this past Sunday.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And so the older I've gotten, the more it's starting to sink in for me, like, man, this is a great place.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think there's people who are listening to this who want that for their church.
Mm. You know? I would say begin by praying and seeking God's vision for your life and for your church. Mm-hmm. Work with your pastor. Come alongside. Don't try to attack him or try to, you know, teach him a thing or two about vision. But come alongside and say, Pastor, what do you think if we were to ever craft a vision? Well, how would you feel? How would you feel about leading us to find our vision?
Great point.
And then see where that may take you.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised. It may take some time, maybe a year or two, maybe even 5 years. Mm-hmm. But at the end of that, you will be so glad that you did.
Amen.
Amen.
And no better time to do that than now.
That's right.
God is doing some great things in our nation. There's freedom. There's opportunity. There's economy is going to grow. Mm-hmm. A lot of good things are coming. What better time to say, hey, let's go all in sharing the gospel of Christ.
That's true.
Right.
That's 100% true.
There's a new landscape. So set a new vision for the new horizon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you guys enjoyed today's episode, write in and let us know. 252-582-5028. Or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Don't forget, you can partner with us financially on that same website. Every gift that you give goes not only to building up this radio show, but countless other ministries for the gospel of Jesus. John, what do you want to plug as we end today?
Make sure to pick up Dr. Shaw and Nicole's book, 30 Days of Praying for America, Daily Devotions to Heal Our Nation. You can pick it up on Amazon right now, as well as our debut album, Heaven Here and Now. It's available on Spotify, Amazon Music, Rhapsody, iTunes, anywhere you get digital music is being sold. Don't forget, all of our resources are going to be available on CCLI very shortly.
Lots of great content coming your way the rest of this week. Make sure you guys tune in. We love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow on Clearview Today.